Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Hello again. Adenine and adenosine, some molecular tour of these two fantastic molecules. As you can possibly hear, I'm doing this podcast while while driving. So I've just been to a Scout barbecue and cooked a fair number of sausages outside a hardware shop, and they're selling them to many customers at the moment. I'm going back up home up to the mountains, and in this time I'm going to give you a molecular tour of adenine and adenosine. Now this is sort of like the superstar basic molecule. It used to be vitamin B4 before it was realized that it was not a vital nutrient, because a vitamin is things that your body cannot produce itself. Although, it's... I was just trying to think about vitamin D. So it's a very important molecule, adenine, and it's the A in ATGC pairing up of nitrogenous bases. So it is actually a base. It's a nitrogenous base in DNA, but it's also got another superstar role in the energy battery source, sort of portable rechargeable battery source inside cells, which activate all the proteins, and that's adenosine triphosphate diphosphate. It goes from the production of energy goes from triphosphate, and the phosphate pops off in diphosphate, and this molecule adenosine seen diphosphate. So it's adenine with a ribose sugar, and then phosphates attached to it again is the energy source. So adenosine, it's very important, and these are these beautiful molecules which are so attractive because they're basically flat, and the ones that I've done so far, ecstasy is one that I can remember very well, but you've got caffeine and a whole nicotine, slightly different, but caffeine for sure. All these molecules have got this very similar template, which is this flat ring. Now you can make a flat ring with six carbons and six hydrogens. The carbons bond to each other by a half each, or three out of the six bonds are double bonds. Or you can think of the pi orbitals. These are electrons which sit above and below this ring of carbon. So if you get onto your sheet of paper and just draw a hexagon, a flat hexagon, you can actually have a flat hexagon, a flat molecule. And that's called a benzene. And it's in organic chemistry, it's a phenyl group. Is the fundamental aspects of it. And the thing about this is that you can imagine if you've got flexible, I don't know why I'm being beeped here at the moment, you can just relax. I'm giving a podcast at the moment, thank you very much. So I'm out here on Mulgoa Road coming out of Bunnings, and I've got to wait a fair while to go up the mountain to it. So adenine, it's a fundamental vitamin or nutrient molecular bit. So you've got your proteins, you've got your fats, you've got your waters, you've got your RNA, DNA, and this is a fundamental little building block. It's sort of like a drug in the levels of a drug or hormones. It's a chemical message. It's a chemical building block within a cell. So this is one of the harder things to go. And these building blocks are used by the body to do things. The building blocks are used to build things. So it builds DNA with this building block, and it uses this building block in the energy transfer source. So you have an ancient bacteria inside every cell, sometimes one, sometimes thousands. Inside your heart, for instance, there's 5,000 1,000 mitochondria cells in each cell, busily chomping through sugar and pumping, gushing out this cell food called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. So adenine. So I've got it for you, and I'm telling you that of a type, the architecture, basic type of architecture, is your pentagon, and on top of a hexagon, and your hexagon is the flat side, the two pointy bits are pointing at either side, and the flat side on the top, and above that flat side, the top flat side, so imagine the pentagon sitting up in space, vertically up, it's resting on the table, rather than balancing on a vertex, it's on a flat bit, and the flat bit above that, at the top of the hexagon, you place a pentagon, and a pentagon, it goes from a flat bit to a pointy bit. So this has got a flat bit for the hexagon, and then a pentagon on top of that. And there's so many, many molecules which are of this architecture. And we have done MDMA or ecstasy with this hexagon structure. And this hexagon structure you can substitute out if you want to, carbons and nitrogens. So if you put, nitrogens with nitrogen or oxygen. So imagine that's 6 plus 3, that's 9 carbons in this structure. This is the fundamental template for so much to do with life. And you can remove, if you want, at various points in times, a carbon from that ring in anywhere and replace it with an oxygen or a nitrogen. Now, in this case, adenosine, we're going to remove 4 out of the 9 carbons and replace them with nitrogens. And there'll be a 5th nitrogen attached to it. Now, what we're going to do is, in the top pentagon, we have the 2 carbons base in the bottom hexagon it's attached to. Above that, you've got 3 atoms. And what's going to be, it's going to be nitrogen, carbon at the vertex, and nitrogen again. So in that little hexagon, 2 of the carbons are out, and 2 nitrogens are in. And onto one of those nitrogens, we're going to add a hydrogen. So nitrogen can have 3 bonds, carbon 4, nitrogen 3. And in this case, one of the nitrogens is double bonded in. The other nitrogen is single bonded, one to a carbon, one to a carbon, and one to a hydrogen. That's going to be really important because that's your sticky, your bonder. And so that bond there gets substituted out and gets stuck onto a sugar eventually. And whenever this adenine gets used. When it actually gets bonded to a sugar, it's adenosine, S-I-N-E. So we have to work our way down. Now, at this stage, we are actually pretty much close on the same point we are with the ecstasy molecule. But in the ecstasy molecule, the carbons of your hexagon are all your hexagon is all carbon. This one in adenosine, you have another 2 substitutions there. And the way that I do it is that if you start from the top left carbon, that's 1, 2, 3, 4th one replace with nitrogen. So that's on your base, counting 4, and your base that you're sitting with your hexagon on the table like that in vertical space, that's a nitrogen. Oh yeah, that's a nitrogen, and then a carbon. Then at the apex on the 6th one, it's a nitrogen again. So it's 1 carbon, 2 carbon, 3 carbon. So that's your apex. You're now at the vertex vertices pointing of the hexagon pointing out to the right. Go down. That one there on the bottom of the table, that's a nitrogen, carbon. The next one on the next apex up to the left is the sixth carbon, is a nitrogen. And there's only one thing else to do, is to add a bond onto carbon number three. Instead of a hydrogen sticking out there, you bond an amine group, which is a nitrogen plus two hydrogens. So there's actually, when you all count it up, there's five nitrogens and nine minus four, five carbons in this adenosine molecule. This is a number of really interesting active sites. I just have to wait here because there's a car wanting to turn right in front of me, and there's this big queue to get back up to the highway here. So this molecule is something to really, I suppose, basically sit back and enjoy. It's like, what the heck is that person? I hate these really aggressive cars that went in front of me. So coming on here, it's really, really interesting. Let's go through this molecule again. A pentagon at the top, and the two shoulders of the head of the pentagon is carbon. The two shoulders are nitrogens, and on your left shoulder of it, you've got a hydrogen atom, and that hydrogen atom can be removed and replaced with a whole sugar. So it can be hydrogen, or can be replaced with a whole sugar. When it's a whole sugar, it's the biological component that we love to see so much of. Going down, okay, hopefully I'm not being pushed in front of you. Going down into the hexagon underneath, we have going clockwise at about 11 o'clock carbon, about 1 o'clock another carbon. At 3 o'clock we have a carbon, but onto that carbon is attached a nitrogen with two hydrogens, and then underneath that another nitrogen. So that's at 5 o'clock is another nitrogen. This is only really roughly, I have to work this out, is a nitrogen with a hydrogen, and then it's more a hydrogen bond that you're looking at. Then you go across at 7 o'clock, there's a carbon. Then at 9 o'clock, there's a nitrogen again. Now, where the things are really interesting and active is that the nitrogen in the amine group, which is on that carbon and hydrogen bond, and also the nitrogen on the the nitrogen, first nitrogen in the ring, has got these lovely orbitals sitting out ready for hydrogen bonding. And this is the crux of it. The adenine has the potential for two hydrogen bonds. Now, it when it's put out there, it's got an adenine and it's flipped symmetrically over itself. These hydrogen bonds don't align. It's only when the T molecule, which I'll have to go through, is there that these hydrogen bonds can link. And so what it means is that you can make this long polymer chain. A polymer chain is a repeating chain of random ATCGs and opposite, which will only link by hydrogen bonds, is this through those two nitrogenous bases. So it's called a nitrogen base, but it's not necessarily basic. Nucleic acid is slightly acidic. It gives off... it prefers to be accept an electron and emit a proton, which is the fundamental basis of an acid. There's four definitions of an acid. It's an acid. When it's a base, it means it's a basic unit of DNA. And so it's those two hydrogen bonds, which actually, I can't believe it, I'm still talking, I'm still going here. It's taking me 14 minutes to travel one block. Thank goodness I've left when I did. The sausage sandwiches that I bought for my family are staying cool there. It's a bit of a time there. So let's have another relook at adenine. Adenine is like the poster child of life. And it's basically a little ring molecule of lots of carbons and nitrogens put together. Basically, if you produce hydrogen cyanide and mix it up together, and a bit of electricity or that much, you actually make this building block of amino acid quite easily. And what happens is that this molecule occurs without a lot of fuss in the natural environment. So it's been found in space, it's found in meteorites, it's found everywhere, and it's found produced by inorganic processes, and which you essentially have to have for organic life to start up. You have to have a soup of organic molecules, precursor molecules, which have to exist on day life plus one or life minus one. You have to have them there. And when you look at this, you've got five carbons, so one at the top and four at the bottom. This works out to, yeah, four at the bottom, and then you've got five nitrogens. This is CN, and this CN will spontaneously, that's hydrogen cyanide molecules will spontaneously form this molecule, which is the key to life. And when you actually come to think of it, these are lock and key things. It looks like a key, and if you look at the initial molecule that Crick and Watson and Crick use to figure out DNA, they actually got in the machine shop, give us a hexagon, give us a pentagon, and they've drilled holes in it, this piece of metal, and they've pop riveted this together, and this is a fundamental key. This is a shape which fits together. And so what's so beautiful about it all is that why these things have a code of bonds which are not flexible. So if this is a flexible thing, it might form DNA, it might not form DNA. You'd have to worry about it had to be at the right angle. But this is flat. It's actually riveted flat with appropriate hydrogen bonds at the important time. The other ones have three nitrogen bonds. It's a combination of symmetry and number of bonds, which means they stick together. Now, you could get an A stick together very, very loosely. The bonds would not be at all strong. There'd possibly be one bond and hydrogens in there sticking on. It would be actually a very weak bond, and your DNA would actually stick apart. There's other aspects to it. There's the reason that the charge is, I think the nitrogen's on the inside, so the nitrogen is overall plus charge. It's going to be sucking in the electrons from the outside of the DNA. So what you're going to do is have this relatively strong positive charge on the inside of your DNA and negative charge on the outside of your DNA. And overall, your DNA strands, due to the actual dipole moment of your adenine, is going to travel through your sugar into your phosphates and actually create repulsion of one strand to the other. And this is when you make your DNA, it unfoils, and it's the DNA is repelled from each other. So there's a lot of working space of your DNA in its working place, because it tends to uncoil. It's only when you actually introduce nucleosomes, which are these little yo-yo-like molecules, which go up and bond with your DNA, and it spontaneously coils up at a billion places, well, I'd say close on a billion places at once, or millions of places at once. It coils into that chromosome, which you're used to seeing due to the nutrisomes. It's this thing, it doesn't coil mechanically around something. It's basically this molecule goes across and it goes from a tangled state to the supercoiled space instantaneously by coiling everywhere in the molecule at the same time. The important point is that when this nutrisomes aren't there, the DNA would like to expand, and so you have this pressure in the nucleus of the DNA wanting to snap apart. And similarly, this repulsion of DNA is also important in the loops. You've got one configuration that is a whole heap of DNA packed inside a little explosive device called the nucleus. You can also have the DNA in a ring, and because it's a repulsive ring, it's actually quite a solid sort of ring that's produced about. Otherwise, it would just flop and knot itself. Imagine if I were to give you a shoelace and get you to tie up the shoelace, something weird would be happening with it. It's got a basic springiness associated with it. Your shoelace would not form a little ring like a coit here. So I'm just focusing on not crashing if you're getting through that intersection. So there we had it. Have it going for longer than I like, 21 minutes to get up here. It took 7 minutes to get down to the mountain. We'll find out when I had this disaster trying to recite the periodic table to you. And this one, I've given a molecular tour of sorts to adenine, and I don't know, I might put it up there. I just have to have a real think about how we do this type of stuff. But one of the things I do want to advertise is that this will be put in the tour of molecules, and being put in the tour of molecules, it will be who's here? I think there's some a visitor here. Ah, that's right, my wife's gone out to a brunch. She won't be home. Getting back to in the future of podcasting is mathematical, and I have produced an app which I'll put down here, and I recommend that you go to, and it, you can, sort of like a library of podcasts, you'll be able to go up and see the different resources. Thanks again for listening. Bye for now.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. How you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.